Blog Talk Radio.
Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our
by beckoning voices, and our world is polluted with sound. Lord, let us hear you. In a land dissected and muddled by mazes of roads and never-ending highways, Lord, help us find your way. In a world of easy promises, empty guarantees, and quick-claim insurance policies, give us the security of your hand, Lord Jesus. At a time when we are confused by conflicting authorities that would tell us how to manage our marriages, our finances, and our children, oh Lord Jesus, show us your way. As we walk the tightrope of parenthood in these explosive days, training our little ones to live in a world for which there are no precedents, Lord, we just need you in all things, gentle shepherd. Help us find the way.
There's no
So let's turn to John chapter 1 and verse 35 to 42. John chapter 1. Okay, verse 35 starts like this. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples who heard him followed him. Jesus turned and saw them following, and said to them, "What are you seeking?" They said to him, "Rabbi," meaning teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So, you are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter, which really means a little stone. In the beginning, God, and later on, Jesus, in his ministry, affirmed the reality of leaving and cleaving. It's true in marriage. It's true in our commitment to Jesus. As you have just heard, that this business about following Jesus is not a one shot. It is not only daily, it is moment by moment. Leaving, I think, in our time has been spoken of as something very negative. But it really is a going on. We leave third grade so we can go to fourth grade. We leave the dry pastures and move on to verdant fields. We leave our childhood homes to establish homes of our own. We leave our old lives and become joined to Jesus. As we think about the disciples, the first four at least, well, and more than that, but just to mention Peter, James, John, and Andrew, when Jesus walked by and called them, it says, they got out of the boat, they left their nets, they left their father and followed him. They left to go on. It was not a negative sort of thing. But today we think about, oh, he's leaving this or he's leaving that. Well, sometimes we leave because we don't have the tenacity to work through something. But there is that good part about leaving. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, we are told to leave the elementary things and go on to maturity. And so in order to do this, we need to see ourselves as servants, as slaves, get our ears pierced, to show that we belong forever to Jesus. And it's when we can get ourselves out of the way that we can move on. When we can leave us, then we can move on. In every wedding, the man and the woman are there, and the question they are asked is, forsaking all others, keep you only onto this one as long as you live. It's that same way when we come to Jesus. Forsaking all others and becoming joined. I believe this is why Paul, when he talks about the new life, he talks about marriage as being the symbol or the object lesson of Christ and his church, that relationship that is permanent. There's a little exercise we can do with our hands. Can we? Everybody's got hands? Clam's got hands? No. All right. I want you to use your hands today for a little bit, okay? Exercise our hands, okay. So this is sort of symbolic, all right? So if we talk about marriage, our thumbs represent our ancestors, our parents, What's this finger called? Next one. The next finger is called, we call it relate to, you know, maybe associates, maybe brothers, sisters, or whatever. This big one in the middle, that's us. Okay, and our ring finger, all right, this is, well, why do we wear wedding rings on the fourth, or why not on your thumb? Anyway, that's a good question. You can think about that. So that relates to our spouse or our relationship to Christ, all right? And then the little finger, then that's our children, or if we're talking marriage, all right? So parents, your brothers and sisters, you, your wife or husband, your children, all right? So now put your fingers together, okay? Just like this. See, isn't that good? I mean, we can all do this. It's very clever. All right. So can you separate your thumbs? And the next finger, and the next one, and the next one. Okay, they're all very flexible. All right, but we're going to get rid of us. So get rid of you. Fold you down and face you downwards, okay? You got this? You like this? Okay. Can you separate your thumbs? And these fingers? And the little one? Separate the ring finger. Separate your ring fingers. No helping, just by yourself. See, we do leave our parents. We do leave the old life when we come to Jesus. We leave all of that. And what happens of is it's leaveable. But you can't get the ring finger separated because it's permanent. See, like this, you can do this, but that one doesn't work. Maybe that's why we wear rings on our fourth fingers, because you can't separate them if you get out of the way. But if we're in the way, then what? It's all self-centered. It's all anything but good. So, you see, we find that in Christianity. Those who come to Jesus, everything is movable except your relationship to Jesus.